Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
The FBI is currently searching Joe Biden's beach home. I think this is the fourth location they've searched. And we just learned yesterday that the FBI searched one of his premises back in November that had been kept a secret for the month now that we've known about this with the, what's her name?
I'm sorry, I was reading something.
White House press secretary. What's her name?
KJP.
KJP.
Karen Jean-Pierre. Oui.
She will once again go out there today and talk about how they have been transparent and forthcoming at every step of the way, even though CBS uncovered it in the first place, and CBS uncovered yesterday the fact that the FBI was there, and they didn't tell us that. But the FBI is back again, searching a sitting president's home. So more on that later if we learn anything.
So perhaps you've noticed your favorite news show is running highlights of and descriptions of the Alec Murdaugh trial. It looks like Murdaugh. Why the family pronounces it Murdaugh, I can't help you understand, but they do. This is a family that in their chunk of South Carolina have run the place for generations. This guy who's on trial for murder right now, accused of murdering his wife and son, cold blood, blew their heads off. I mean, just it's terrible.
How long ago was the murder?
2021.
Because you mentioned it had become the subject of podcasts and that sort of thing. So was it one of those deals where they're trying to get justice for something?
Yes. Yeah. The most popular one, as I understand it, and I'm not an expert on this, but I'm kind of aware of it through other people, was a local journalist who just kept getting shut down and told by her bosses, listen, pipe down on this, all right? You don't want to mess with the Murdaughs. But she was certain something dirty was going on, so she kept after it and was one of the reasons. And it was people like her and others who at least urged along the authorities into actually digging into this incredibly powerful family.
Yeah, that's happened a number of times where these podcasts catch on to a crime that the police either, you know, were actively not doing or just didn't have the funding to look into or whatever. And the podcasts dig up enough stuff and get enough pressure going that something comes around. That's fantastic.
So this family, this guy, Alec, who's on trial for murdering his wife and child, his son was a teenager. He was the third in a row of his family to be the DA, the prosecutor of the multi-county chunk of the state where they lived. And so the family was the family in the legal world of that part of South Carolina for three generations. Every cop knew and feared them. Every prosecutor, every attorney, every judge, every clerk, every bailiff knew who the Murdochs were and did not breathe a word of ill-considered talk about them. They had that sort of power. And so, and I'll give you the brief timeline on this. 06, I'm sorry, whoops, I flipped back too far. Stand by. 2015, former high school classmate of Alex's oldest son, Buster, who's still around, is found dead in the middle of a country road. His car was 3 miles away and out of gas. Blunt force trauma caused by a hit and run. His mother said all along he was murdered. Highway Patrol disagreed with the autopsy determination, pursued several leads, including rumors that Buster, the son, was having a secret affair with Smith, the kid who died, but that was quickly swept away, and the case was unsolved. What happened? Who knew? I don't know. They've reopened that case, by the way. 2018, a few years later, the Murdoch family's housekeeper dies after a mysterious accident falling down some stairs. Her family filed a wrongful death claim at the urging of Alex, the now defendant. And I'm going to jump ahead a little bit here. They got millions of dollars, which Alex and his cronies then pocketed. That's one thing you should know about this great, the king of the law in that area. He ripped off his own law firm and all of his clients for millions and millions of dollars. And he spent millions and millions of dollars while stealing from them, partly to support his drug habit.
Oh, okay. That's a
wrinkle. Was all going on behind the scenes. He became a raving oxy addict.
Okay.
And began stealing from everybody he could steal with. All right. 2019, you got the dead housekeeper mysteriously. You got the dead friend of the boy not far away mysteriously. Might have been a lover, might not. Who knows? February 2019, the young son who was the murder victim, who by all descriptions was an obnoxious, awful drunk. He was a teenage drinker, and his friends had a saying that, oh, God, Timmy's come out. He had a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde thing where when he began drinking, Timmy would come out. And Timmy was cruel and he was mean and you couldn't talk to him and he was violent. But this was the son of the Murdochs, so you dared not say anything or do anything or report him to the cops or whatever.
You don't expect that sort of behavior out of the teenage son of a super wealthy, powerful family.
Oh, for multiple generations. They were untouchable for generations. Wow. And, you know, this is a parable, folks. This sure is about how power corrupts. So anyway, obnoxious drunk son goes boating at night, runs in the fog, runs the boat into a dock, or I guess it was a bridge, come to think of it, kills a young woman whose body isn't found for 3 days.
Oof.
Her family sues. There are charges against the boy. The super powerful family is fighting against those charges, etc. So now you got at least three dead people. You got the old man stealing from all of his clients and a lot of people still too afraid to do anything. Well, that brings us to June of 2021, where a sobbing, hysterical Alex Murdoch calls the cops and to report that he's just come across his son and his wife shot to death near the dog kennels on the family's sprawling 1,700-acre hunting estate.
1,700 acres? Wow. Right. Now, just jumping in here, I'm hearing this story. I'm guessing a guy like that makes a lot of enemies, so it's not impossible that this sort of thing befalls his family.
Which is precisely what he's claiming. Okay. It was not him using, and this is interesting, his son had his freaking head blown off. Sorry, but that's just the way it is, with a shotgun. His wife was gunned down multiple shots from a rifle. It's a little odd, you got to admit. I'm a crazed drug addict, thief, at a dead end. I'm getting my wife and son or whatever have said that the jig is up. I'm going to kill him, but I'm going to use a shotgun on her and a shotgun on him and a rifle on her. It's not impossible, but it's a little weird. So the cops show up and they say they're out there by the dog kennels at their 1,700 acre estate. And they say to him, what's going on here? Who's been going where? Have you been out here with them? And he said, no, I haven't been here at all today. I had to find them. And then later it surfaces that there's a videotape, like an Instagram post that his son, the victim, made, who's also the drunken boater, Timmy, crazy scumbag, allegedly. He like posted to Instagram, here I am at the dog kennels with my mom, and there's his dad's voice in the background talking.
Okay. Whoa.
Establishing his whereabouts.
Yeah, that hurt.
Yeah. So anyway, we're now into the trial for the murder of the son and the wife.
And who's left in the family? There are other kids? There's other kids.
The oldest son, who may or may not have been the lover of the guy found dead in the road, is still around.
Uh-huh.
And of the immediate family, though, that's it. Huh. I almost left out. I'm sorry. I almost left out this part. September of 2021. Now, this is how many months is that? July, August, 3 months after the double murder. Old Alex Murdoch claims he was ambushed changing a tire when a guy shot him in the head from a passing truck. Turns out this guy is a fellow drug addict scumbag who Murdoch had employed in various druggy roles, who Murdoch had hired to shoot him in the head because he knew it was over. And he wanted his son to get the insurance money. But he couldn't off himself, he thought. So he hired this jackass to shoot him in the head, glanced off his noggin, and the guy drove away in panic.
Wow, but he was to the point he was willing to die.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And then finally, in July to December 2022, Alex is charged with his wife and son's murder and a bunch of other crimes. So the trial is going on right now. But all of this unfolded over the course of months. And I first heard about this story right after the double murder in June of 2021. And they mentioned the other mysterious deaths and the rest of it. So, yeah, if you've been following it since then, to actually see this monster on trial and his defense taking shape and all, it's pretty compelling.
We have some clips from yesterday's happenings.
Yeah, yeah. Do we have time? Yeah, let's play clip 70, Michael.
You also testified.
A standoff in the courtroom over whether Alex Murdoch incriminated himself in the murder of his son during an interview with police.
You sat on the stand and heard that, right?
Yes, sir, I did.
The defense grilling a state investigator over how he heard Murdoch describe Paul's death days after the murders.
It was just so bad. I did him so bad.
It was so bad. I did him so bad. That's what you testified to yesterday.
Yes, sir, that is what I testified to.
Now, are you 100% confident that Alex said, I did him so bad, rather than they did him so bad?
I am 100% confident in what I heard and I interpreted him as saying.
That investigator saying he made a mental note but did not have the evidence against Murdoch at the time to take it further.
That's a tough one.
So the defense, there's more. The defense is claiming, as you heard, he said they did him so bad. Now, it sure sounded like I to me, but let's slow the tape down in 71, Michael.
But the defense pressing him on why he didn't ask Murdoch to clarify what he meant.
You never followed up with it, did you?
Murdoch's team playing the clip again.
It was just so bad. I did it so bad.
Then at slow speed.
I did it so bad.
But that investigator sticking to his interpretation.
Did you hear they then?
No, sir, I did not.
Yeah, it kind of sounded like they to me.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Yeah. See, honestly, this guy might not get convicted.
Wow.
And I'll tell you why. his story at the time was that somebody came along and killed them. So, of course, he would have said they did him so bad. Yeah. If he, in the middle of the interrogation, in effect, confessed, and then the investigator didn't follow up. What do you mean you did him so bad? What did you do exactly? Speak into the microphone.
Yeah.
No, he just kept talking.
Yeah.
That's weak, man.
This is so bad. I did it so bad.
Yeah. And he's in the weird position of it. It helps him to present what a scumbag he is and all the scumbags he's been dealing with his whole life to make it more clear to the jury that, hey, I got lots of, I've hung around with a lot of scumbags. Could have been any of them killed my family.
Yeah, I've been buying and selling drugs. I've been stealing from people. I've stole millions of dollars from innocent people who despise me now. They live in poverty because I took all their money. I have more enemies than you have friends.
Yeah.
That's his defense.
Yeah, and then pretty good one because he probably does have those enemies.
Oh, every word of that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, there are probably lots of people when they heard part of his family was dead, thought good.
Yeah, it's too bad the old man ain't dead.
Yeah. Wow, that's interesting. Well, I might start paying attention to the news updates every day, and we'll keep you up to date, among other things that we follow, including this hour. Stay here.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but, like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
According to a new survey, people don't want their partners to earn less than $30,000 a year. This news first reported by a guidance counselor to a philosophy major.
That doesn't pay well, I'm taking.
It pays very poorly, Jack, if you can find employment at all.
So, started the show by mentioning three giant political stories going on today that I think there will be headlines out of later. One of them being that Joe Biden and Kevin McCarthy are meeting in theory to start their negotiation around the whole raising the debt ceiling. So something will come out of that. Nikki Haley announced that she's going to announce for president. So on February 15th, she is going to run. So it's a pretty big deal. I mean, Trump's the only one officially in, and now she's in. And
making herself a target.
Making herself a target. And she said she wouldn't run if Trump was running because she respects him so much, but apparently changed her mind on that. And then the other giant political story, I can't remember. Oh, the hearings begin today. So the Republicans ran on, hey, we're going to investigate all kinds of things, including the whole border situation. And they've got hearings on that going today, which is, you know, something's going to come out of that, including this. I just read this from, so Hanson's listening to this, and if it's good, we'll play it for you coming up. I just, CBS tweeted out, and unfortunately, my Twitter thing just jumped.
Well, let me nominate story number four. The FBI is ransacking the sitting president's home.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not
probably
a minor
looking
thing.
For. I don't know, the Lindbergh baby, or you know, evidence he appeased Hitler or something.
Right. The FBI is currently searching a sitting president's home. You'd think that'd be the lead story, but we're just so used to that sort of stuff now. It's like, yeah, man. It's the world we live in, right?
This is what is this, Brazil?
This is what Scott McFarlane, the reporter for CBS, tweeted out. The House Judiciary Committee is off to a roaring start in the 118th Congress with a very extended debate over the reciting of the Pledge of Allegiance. And then I see some congressperson lecturing and waving his fingers. So we're looking into the audio of that. And if it's jazzy, we'll play that for you. But I always like it when before they even get started, somebody, I object! You know, before they even get going.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman. Point of order.
You can't make a point of order. Yeah, you can. Look at the rules. You know, that sort of thing.
Oh, boy.
Love it when that sort of stuff happens. Boy. They're arguing about the Pledge of Allegiance before they even get to the meat of the day.
You know, I didn't memorize that list of issues that Americans think are the most important, but I don't recall seeing that one on there.
Yeah.
Whether they recite the pledge before hearings in Congress. Oy vey.
So we'll bring you that audio if it's any good. Also, just heard from a sheriff about the quality of cops showing up at the police academy currently. And that is a bit of a troubling story. Fits in with another narrative of the day. If you miss an hour of the show, grab the podcast Armstrong and Getty On Demand.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but, like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now. Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Good morning, guys. I'll get to the point right away. I'm retiring for good. Thank you guys for allowing me to live my absolute dream. I wouldn't change a thing. Love you all.
There you go. Tom Brady, short and sweet. Says he's retiring. Means it this time. Not going to go through all the histrionics as he did last time. He said you can only do that once, which he's right. There you go.
Fans of the heavy rock, like myself, saddened to see Ozzy Osbourne is retired, too. It's similar to the Tom Brady thing if Tom Brady had been playing football since 1968.
Yeah, we got this text. In addition to Brady's retirement, you might want to look into Ozzy Osbourne's announcement that he has decided to hang up his bat wings. Famously bit the head off a bat. All right, so there's that.
Or did he? We'll take your calls.
So, congressional hearings starting today, Republicans vowing to investigate a whole bunch of different things. Some of them I agree with, some of them I don't, but understand the politics of. I definitely think they should be doing this border investigation, looking into what the hell's going on in Mayorkas and all that sort of stuff. I mean, good
Amen
God.
Amen to that.
We're setting records every month. So every month, how do you not look into that? But
hundreds of thousands of people now just on the dole in America's cities, living on the streets, supported by taxpayer money, and there's no stopping it. What the hell?
But I guess the hearing got derailed quickly right off the bat. I don't know. I haven't heard this, but we'll listen.
Where
the chair may designate an individual to lead the Pledge of Allegiance to add the following language. Provided, however, the pledge shall not be led by an individual who supported an insurrection against the government of the United States in any way.
All right.
Because I think if we adopt this amendment, then we will be truthful in representing that stating this pledge is an affirmation of your defense of democracy and the Constitution. It's hard to take that claim seriously if, in fact, an individual who in any way supported an insurrection against the government of the United States is allowed to lead the pledge. So I would ask Mr. Gates to accept this friendly amendment, and I look forward to supporting it.
Would the gentleman yield for
I first ask Mr. Gates if he'll support the amendment. To make sure that someone who led an insurrection against the United States doesn't make a mockery of the Pledge of Allegiance and stand before this committee with their hand over their heart claiming to support the Constitution.
Mr. Cicilline, my concern would be if your definition of an insurrection is objecting to electors, then there would be many Democrats on the committee that wouldn't be eligible to lead the pledge since so many
That's objected. Not my definition
I
of
mean,
an insurrection.
The last Republican president to get sworn in absent
I'll
Democratic objectors was George Herbert
Mr.
Walker Bush.
Reclaiming my time, Mr. Gates, I will allow the chairman to determine whether or not someone has participated in insurrection in the United States. I think this language is important.
Would the gentleman further yield?
I'm asking Mr. Gates, will you now accept the amendment?
Well, I'm concerned that you may be disqualifying too many of your own members, Mr. Cicilline.
Oh, Matt Gaetz is good at being Matt Gaetz.
I rarely side with him, but right. He has a point.
Well, yeah, and so what a Democrat tried to do at the very beginning of the hearing about the border, which is going to be hard to defend for the Democrats, they tried to make it about January 6th, which is pretty clever. I mean, politics is
Trump.
And
of
Trump.
Of course.
Politics is a blood sport, and that's pretty clever. Matt Gaetz. Hansen was telling me, because I didn't see the video, about how Gaetz clearly, like, I get challenged in a meeting or whatever. I'm just like, oh, no. Oh, God, what? No. He's one of those people that, oh, bring on the conflict. I want conflict. I want to, everybody come at me. I'm thriving on this. He's one of those people. And you can see it in his face.
Wow.
And he's good at it. He's good at it.
Wow.
He'll have to explain that. It's going to be hard to explain it to his high school girlfriend later this afternoon. You know what? They never brought any charges on that. I should quit making those comments.
Minute. What?
I should quit making those comments. Because they never brought any charges. They dropped that. So there you go. Speaking of January 6th, I wasn't planning on going here, but I just came across this. This is interesting. So the January 6th committee was, for a variety of reasons, we won't go through that whole story again, but it was all opponents of Trump and what happened there. It wasn't a, you know, both sides of the story thing. Let me read this to you. From a couple of reporters, the House January 6th committee concluded that the FBI and other federal security agencies could have prevented a violent mob from overrunning the Capitol had they acted on the large volume of intelligence collected beforehand, the chief investigator told NBC News in an exclusive interview, a judgment the committee left out of its televised hearings and final report.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing they concluded, but didn't put this in for the TV cameras or the final report when Liz Cheney and whoever else was up there, you know, doing their thing, is that the conclusion is if they had acted on the intelligence they had, they could have stopped the mob from overrunning the Capitol. Now, that doesn't, you know, that doesn't negate what people did or what they were hoping to do, or that doesn't change any of that. But what's going on there? That seems like that's newsworthy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And you got to wonder.
It goes against the narrative. Come on now.
You got to wonder, is there any chance, will we ever know? Did Nancy, who, you know, made some of the decisions about security that day, did they want it to get ugly? They didn't think it would get that ugly. I would never believe that anybody actually wanted that to happen, because some people did die. But, I mean, you could have had lots of people die. But I could definitely say, no, let's keep the security keep the security in the background. Let's say things get a little out of hand and show the world who these Trump people are. I could see that easily.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if one relates to the other, honestly. I think it's entirely possible that the feds got a ton of intelligence on, you know, who's planning what, who is saying what online, that sort of thing, and chose not to take some of it seriously. Because that's the way it is in appraising real-time intelligence. You think, all right, that's a real threat. That's not. That's just a guy mouthing off, et cetera. And they made mistakes. They did not take seriously things they should have taken seriously. I don't think that necessarily means that they were in cahoots with Democrats. I don't know that it doesn't, but it's
it's yeah, I don't a know. Separate question. And it by no means lets anybody off the hook who was smashing cops in the face.
Of course not. No.
And committing vandalism and screaming, hang Mike Pence.
We are still a better country than other countries, and certainly better than Iran. Have you been following this story of the... Have you seen the video of the young couple in love dancing in the street? That's brutal. Have you seen this?
No, I haven't seen the video. I saw a headline about it, yeah, but I don't know much about it.
It looks like a 20-year-old guy and his 19-year-old girlfriend or whatever, and they kiss and they spin around and they dance in front of this fountain. It's really cute, and they posted that on social media. They have been sentenced to 10 years of jail time by the Iranian fun police, or whatever they call them, the vice squad, for promoting corruption, prostitution, and propaganda. These young people.
Nice regime.
Nice. Yeah. And that's something.
Wow.
Remember that. It's the way some countries craft their lifestyle, world, culture. Whatever.
Hellhole run by cultists.
Did we mention the other story that Nikki Haley, I guess we did mention that Nikki Haley has announced she's going to announce, which is a clever move. I don't remember who first invented this a few years ago. The announcing you're going to announce so you get the coverage twice. Get all the news coverage today. Nikki Haley has announced she's running for president. The official announcement is the 15th, and then you get all the coverage again that day. It's kind of a clever manipulation of the media, I guess.
I'm for one or the other. You're falling for it, like a hungry bass leaping at a lure. I will not.
I have not fallen for it until I talk about it a second time. I'm only talking about it today. When she does it on the 15th, that is of no interest to me.
No. See, you are the very hungry bass I described. You're a six-pounder. I tell you what. Because her speech, her actual announcement, will include verbiage we cannot ignore.
I'll bet I can. But what do you think? Is this a big deal? Is this a major person getting in? And yes, I'm about to talk about the 2024 election because I listened to a fascinating interview with Mark Halperin yesterday. Remember the guy from Game Change that has his own newsletter now? He thinks Trump's got a way better chance than people are giving him.
Well, I'm people then because I don't think he has a chance. But
right. But first with Nikki Haley, you think she's a big deal getting in? Major player.
Yeah, she's absolutely a significant player in all this. Yeah, if only because she's so bright. I mean, she's really good at politics.
So Mark Halperin's argument for Trump is how well his candidates did in the primaries leading up to the election. So Trump candidates did not do very well in the general election, but almost everyone Trump backed to become the candidate won the primary. He still had that kind of sway, and you know, that's the crowd that you need to win the primary and become the candidate. That's part of his argument.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the fact that as a guy who's been studying politicians and watching them close up around the country for a long time, he says that Donald Trump is second only to Bill Clinton in terms of retail politics talent. He puts Donald Trump ahead of Barack Obama in terms of being a campaigner, which I thought was interesting.
Wow. That is interesting. Yeah, I just think the bloom left the rose month by month by month, and it continues to leave. The right. level of support and on the other side, the level of belief that, hey, love the policies, love the judges, but it's time to hand off the football.
Yeah, he did acknowledge that Trump's got so many dings, you know, and things that you can attach to him that weren't true in 2016. But according to Halperin, and I don't follow this closely, Trump has a way better team around him to run for election a third time than he's had either of the other times. Way more talent, way better staffed, way better situated to just run a serious presidential campaign. So that's one thing. The other point he made, and this is definitely, there's no arguing this whatsoever. He went through the list. He was talking about how DeSantis is way overrated in terms of a national politician at this point. He could surprise us, but Halperin's argument was, and he's right, almost everybody who's been in the DeSantis position, practically everybody over the last however many decades, has fizzled. Like, how many times do we have to think, oh, well, wait till so-and-so gets in on the Democratic side or the Republican side, and they just don't pan out? It's more the rule than the exception. And I was shocked by a whole bunch of them that I thought, oh, boy, this person, wait till they get in. It's going to be huge. When Rudy gets in, when Jeb Bush gets in, when
please clap,
you know, when whoever gets in, oh, forget it. And then they just don't have it, whatever it is. It just doesn't
take hold. I was a talker for Walker, as folks continually remind me. Well, and I'm particularly sensitive because I'm a fan of DeSantis.
So am I.
That the promising but somewhat awkward governor will not pan out. I'm thinking of Scott Walker and others. Jeb, you know?
Yeah, and it's weird, and it happens.
I'm sorry. It's not Jeb. It's Jeb!
And it happens.
Please clap.
It happens so fast, as we remember. It takes, like, days before everybody's like, that just doesn't seem right. I mean, that's how
quickly. It's like being on a date, really. And you know, it seems nice. It seems fine. All then something is said or confessed to or whatever. And you think, oh, boy, how soon can this end?
Soon as two-term Republican Texas Governor Rick Perry gets in. I mean, look at him. He looks like a president. Look at his background story. Just
moderate state, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's happened so many times, with really the only two exceptions being, in recent times, Obama and George W. Bush, who absolutely lived up to the hype that preceded them. But all the other ones, no. So we'll see. One more stupid, looking too far ahead question. I'm surprised people are getting in already. I thought they would wait longer. DeSantis, you think he waits till the very end? First debate in July.
I would be shocked if he did not wait until the very end. And the voices saying, please run, Ron, please run, were so loud and overwhelming. He could legitimately say, look, I'm into being the governor of Florida.
Right.
But I love this country, and if y'all really want me to run, I'll take a look at it,
maybe,
which is a good look.
Maybe even wait beyond the first debate. I don't know how many debates are scheduled, but let a whole bunch of people go on there and kind of underwhelm, you know, while you're in the background, and people are really saying, we need DeSantis out there. I mean, look at these clowns.
Maybe during the debate, he wades into the surf and saves a whale with a golf ball in his blowhole or something like that. It steals the headlines and off and running.
Yes, the sea was angry that day, my friends. Yes,
that's right.
Anything could happen. Anyway, that's plenty of that.
Oh, yes.
More on the way.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but, like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
I can guarantee you that from now on, anything and everything is always going to be above board. It's largely always been above board. I'm just going to go the extra step now to double check, cross reference everything.
What the hell that?
That was George Santos.
Oh, okay.
Explaining how going forward everything's going to be above board.
Yeah. Bullshit. And I heard him say something about, you know, lying on a resume, you know, that's one thing, running for office. I mean, that's just part of the game. But lying as a sitting member of Congress, doing the people's work, that is not okay, and you will not get any of that. I mean, it's okay.
Said the liar. Yeah, no kidding.
That's hilarious. So,
this is a story that's not getting much attention at all, shockingly. But every GOP senator and Joe Manchin are coming after the Biden administration's ESG climate investment rule. Here's what's happening. The Biden administration is trying to change the regulations about 401ks, which say essentially you've got to be a fiduciary. You're not trying to, well, the only thing you're trying to do is maximize the return on investment. Well, the Biden administration wants to amend those rules to say that you can go ahead and take environmental and social issues into consideration for investment decisions.
No.
That's right.
No.
And so if this investment is going to lose all of this nice person's retirement money, but it will advance social causes, then that's allowed for 401ks.
Well, even if you're not going to lose my money, I mean, that'd be an extreme version, but like you're going to get a couple of percent less than I would have because you think it's going to be good for the whatever, the oceans? Give me a break.
Yeah. Or your cronies who have investments in solar panels or Black Lives Matter, you know, handouts or what have you. Yeah, it's utterly, utterly shocking. Congressman Andy Barr of Kentucky. Oh, I'm sorry. This is Mike Braun of Indiana, rather, said President Biden is jeopardizing retirement savings for millions of Americans for a political agenda. We're proud to stand up against this rule for the millions of Americans who depend on these funds for their retirement. A group of 25 states last week filed a federal lawsuit against the Biden administration over this rule, which Utah Attorney General Sean Reyes says would put millions of Americans' safety net retirement plans at risk. Unfreaking believable.
Yeah, that's something.
I mean, loosen the regulations for any purpose whatsoever is shocking. But yeah, well, in the name of social causes. Now, is this one of those virtue signaling things where the Biden administration gets to say, we're on the record as supporting ESG investments? That's environmental, social, and governance.
I hope.
Investments. And they don't actually mean it, but just normalizing the very idea of this is so crazy. Man, I tell you what, every time I get disgusted by the Republican Party or worn out by them or whatever, think, man, you have no principles, you're a bunch of liars. I realize that, okay, if the other side wins, they're going to push stuff like this.
Right, yeah. I remember hearing one of your top, was it Warren Buffett? I don't think it was. I shouldn't throw it. But one of your top advisors.
Jimmy Buffett?
Saying anytime somebody has a great investment and they say it's going to make the world a better place, hold on to your wallet. Doesn't mean that it can't happen, but it's just you got to be singularly focused when you're coming to investments.
Yeah, I would say so. I certainly expect that out of the people who are handling my money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Here at Giant Investment Firm, we could have gotten you a 6% return this year, but instead, we're going to make sure that there's equity on college campuses, and we've invested in, you know, whatever. Oh, are you kidding me? I'm going to hunt you down.
So the memorial service in Memphis is today. 5 officers charged so far with murder, other people losing their jobs. How big a deal is police violence in this country? Well, Jason Riley, writing in the Wall Street Journal, wants to put it all in perspective, and it's definitely worth hearing if you haven't for hour 4. If you miss an hour of the show, we do 4. You can get the podcast, Armstrong and Getty, on demand.
And who decided to insult the family by sending Kamala Harris?
Kamala Harris will be there. Al Sharpton's doing the big speech.
Is she going to speak or just stand there and look however she looks?
And Getty. Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.